Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life.
All right, we're so glad to be back with you. This is Josh.
Hello, this is Scott.
And it's been a good weekend. We're sitting down here in the basement recording studio with the heater on.
It's warm outside, but it's cold in this.
That's right.
This basement.
It's under. That weird like limbo where the unit doesn't know what to do. And yeah. We don't know what to do with it.
Plus, so we're underground.
That's right. We're cold.
It's always cooler there.
Yeah.
So yes, the heater's on.
That's right. So we're warm, and it was a good Sunday.
Yeah.
Lots of fun. We one highlight was we had a bunch of graduates
that we
got to highlight at the beginning of the service.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is always fun.
It is. It is good to see that. You get a visual of what's been going on in ministries at Grace, and you get a visual of launching out a group of young people. Many have professed their faith in Christ. Those that haven't, we continue to pray for them.
That's right.
But you've been working with them to prepare them for the future, whether that's the workplace or college, some other kind of training as adults, and particularly in relation to their faith, which is a really good work. And
yeah.
So I know every one of these young people who graduated have heard, okay, if you're not in Nashville at Grace Community Church, then here's the exhortation to you to find a good church home, continue to walk in your faith, don't drift. And I just appreciate the way you and the youth ministry continue to press that in to young people.
Well, you know, I think I'm also thankful as a parent. I've got my son is graduating this year, so I'm feeling it in a different way than I usually do.
I could tell that on Sunday. You kind of had a little moment there, I think.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, one thing is I think I feel great about what we do in sort of like the formal youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But on top, I'm very grateful for all of our volunteers there. But I'm also grateful for, you know, the way that in a real organic way, Grace Community Church loves young people, even adults who don't have any kind of formal interaction with the youth ministry are still, you know, reaching out and getting to know young people. There are people that, you know, young students who aren't involved in our youth ministry that still have meaningful relationships with adults of the Christian faith here at our church.
Yeah.
And I'm just very thankful for that.
That's great.
It takes a lot of people to support young people in their faith, and I think we do that a lot of different ways. So glad for that.
And that'll be the request for our people to engage and to pray.
That's right.
Because that is the future.
And a lot of people ask me about, you know, the prayer cards. And there was a time when we did those when kids were graduating. It wound up pressuring them too much about where they were going to go, and they felt like they had to make a decision mid-March. So what we do now is we hand those out in July or early August when they're about to go to college.
That's right.
So you will get those as we'll have a Sunday when we pray all of those kids off early August. And we'll be passing those out so that, you know, you can put that in your Bible and pray
for them. Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, but other than that, it was a good Sunday, and we continued on in Acts 13.
Yeah, wonderful, long passage.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It was one of those, I don't know what I'm going to do when we get to the really long passages later in Acts. Are we going to read the whole thing? I'll have to maybe change up my style a bit and see if people have patience with that.
But or if it's Paul recounting his his salvation experience again.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we're going to do that, but, you know, we'll do it. But, yeah, we were in Acts 13 again, and Paul ends up in another Antioch, and he's going to spend two Sabbaths there. And so we spent the first Sabbath, we talked about this Sunday, the next Sabbath will be next Sunday. But the real quick overview is he preached a great sermon. Obviously, it's Paul, and it's recorded in the Scripture. It's a phenomenal sermon about Jesus being the promised one in the Old Testament, and then Jesus being the one who has now come to us.
Yeah.
Paul says that in current language, to us has been given the message of salvation. And we can say in our day, to us has been given the message of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is that? And it's interesting how he puts it here. Paul said, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man," and this man is Jesus, "through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." And that, I said Sunday, was a catch-all for salvation.
Right.
for all of salvation. And so we just were pounding that point home.
Yeah. When we talk about salvation, just like you said, we're talking about forgiveness of sins. That's what we're being saved from.
Yeah.
The punishment of sin. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it can be real. You talked a little bit about this, but people can often think that after you're saved, you don't have to think about sin anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of half true. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. Well, come back to that question. I want to back up real quick and just clarify one more thing that I just thought of. So when we say forgiveness of sins is a catch-all for salvation, it's because the central problem with human beings is sinfulness against God. That's, that's the fundamental problem revealed all the way back in the Garden of Eden at the very beginning. And so from that comes all kinds of problems. And so to be forgiven of sins then is the way God deals with us and our sin so that all the blessings of salvation then can be.
Yeah.
So we're forgiven of our sins, but we also say in salvation we're reconciled to God.
Right.
We become the children of God. Mm-hmm. We grow in our faith. We will enter the glory. But all that, for all that to happen, we must be forgiven of our sins.
Right.
So that's a little clarification. That's what that means.
Yes.
For this phrase, the forgiveness of our sins, as the catch-all for salvation. All right, now what was your question?
Well, it can be easy to think that once we're saved, we don't really have to think about sin. You know, think like Psalm 103, He removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
And so it could be easy to just be like, I don't have to think about that anymore. That's taken care of in Christ.
Yeah.
Is that really true?
Okay, now, yes, because Sunday I said there's a half truth there. So it's true that we don't think of our sins if we're talking about re-entering the guilt of sin that we've been forgiven, living back under the weight of condemnation. Mm-hmm. Christ took that. Christ took the guilt of our sin. Christ was condemned in our place for our sin. And the forgiveness of sins means we are no longer considered guilty before God, and we no longer live under the condemnation and wrath of God against our sin. So we are free. So in that sense, no, we don't think about it. But that's only half the truth, because I do think that we should, and I think the Scripture reminds us often that we were saved from sin.
Yeah.
So we do continue to have a thought of sin, and even of the sin of which we were forgiven in salvation.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that we do that is because we need to understand and continue to understand the power of the cross. I think I asked the question Sunday, do you want to love Jesus? And I think Christians would say, yeah. I mean, every Christian would say yes. If you don't want to love Jesus, you're not a Christian. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not born again, because when you're born again, you have a new heart that wants to love Christ. So Everybody who is a Christian wants to love Jesus. So how do you cultivate that? Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we cultivate love, deep love for Christ, and deep engagement in the things of Christ is by considering the cross. Hmm. And there's no way to consider the cross without considering what the cross did, which is pay the penalty for our sin. So we should think about our sin, and even the sin, even though we've been forgiven of it, because it magnifies the power of the love of Christ from the cross. Hmm. We need to see Christ as loving us first. We need to see Christ as paying our penalty for our sin out of love, in our place out of love. And we need to see the power of the cross to actually deal with our sin. So it's not like you did something wrong and I'm going to try to make up for you. Well, I'm a lame human like you are, and that's not going to work. I can't atone for you. You can't atone for me. But we're talking about the power of the perfect one, of the Son of God who became man and lived a sinless and perfect life, who then has the perfection needed, the without blemish sacrifice needed to actually endure and pay for our sins in his death.
Yeah.
So there's love there. And so to love Christ, we need to see Christ's love for us in the cross. And to do that, we need to be reminded of the depth of our sin, the darkness of our sin that this love covered and that this atoning sacrifice covered.
Okay. Okay, so that's an important part of Christian growth, is to really kind of see the depths of our sin, right?
Yeah, so that we can see the power of the love and the effect of the cross.
Right. So what would you say to somebody that doesn't really like, connect with their sin. You know, like somebody who lives their life for a while and has some experiences with like sin that's like damaging to people that they might have like a big like regret for or something. Yeah. Like they might be easily able to, you know, think about the depth of their sin. But somebody, yeah, who maybe came to Christ as a child, or just never really got in any trouble or things like that. Like, what would you say to somebody who's just maybe not having that kind of connection with the depth of their sin?
Well, that's good. And I appreciate that. I wish I'd gone there more on Sunday, but let's do that now. I would say we need to understand what sin is. And so, yes, I think that often people who have heard about the cross and the forgiveness all their lives can lose a sense of the sense of the power of it, the sense of the power of God's love, and that really the darkness of what happened on the cross, because it's just become a part of their thinking. And yeah, like you said, especially if in their experience they can't say, yeah, I was a wretch, you know, but now I'm, you know, clean. Well, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. And I've thought about this. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, Eve first, then Adam. So Adam and Eve, they did something that changed the course of history. And what they did was they ate from a tree that they were told not to. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. If a child were to eat the candy that they were told not to before dinner, we would not think that was a big deal.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you might say, okay, well, no candy for you for a week, but it doesn't change the world.
Right.
You know, it doesn't alter history.
Sure.
So what's going on there? I mean, from a human perspective, we would say, well, the fruit from the forbidden tree was not that big a deal. Like, why? Okay, now, put it in a different perspective. Don't think about the act so much of what they did, but think about the meaning of what they did. Mm. Think about what they did reveals. Think about who they did it against. So you have God the Creator, who is rightful ruler over all by virtue of his creation. Mm-hmm. And he's also God who loves. He's loved them so, yeah, plentifully. And then he is the God who rules as Lord. He's commanded them.
Yeah.
And you have the creature, who has everything the creature needs, totally secure in the love of God, all the provision necessary. And yet, a creature in the mind and in the desires and in the doing, mm-hmm, says, I will put myself over the Creator. Now, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Now, that is a dark sin.
Yeah.
And so that, I would say to the person who says, well, I haven't done anything really bad, I'd say, okay, don't focus on whether or not you've done anything really bad. Mm-hmm. Focus on the seed of rebellion that resides in every human heart, that might only show itself outwardly in very small little things, like I told a lie, or, you know, I took something that wasn't mine and hid it somewhere, mm-hmm, you know, something that we say about children. But that seed of rebellion against somebody beyond us, which is God, is really a dark, dark sin.
Yeah.
And without the constraints of God, like maybe the family we grow up in, or the environment we grow up in that doesn't give us opportunity to let our human sin work its way out as much as it does in other environments, without that, we would commit horrible dark sins outwardly, because the same seed of rebellion is in every human heart.
Yeah.
So I would say to the person who feels like they need to understand the power of the cross, to begin to also think about the power of darkness, the power of the rebellion that resides in every human heart, whether that human has ever had the opportunity to work it out in a big, horrible sin. Because Christ died not just for big, horrible sins. He died for the seed of rebellion that's in every human heart.
Yeah.
The darkness. Mm. And so, you know, that would be a way to grow in love and appreciation. Now, let me just, one more word here, maybe encouragement. Encouraging this is not so that people can just go feel bad.
Right.
It's to know the love of God. Yeah. It's strange. I know. It sounds strange.
Yeah.
But we go there in the darkness of sin so that we can truly understand the power of the cross and the love of the cross. And therefore, we love the one who loves us so much. You know, we love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
So what we're driving at is not making people feel bad for feeling bad. We're driving at leading us all to learn to love our Savior more. Mm. And the only way to do that is to know the depths of our sin that he has forgiven us, of which he has forgiven us on the cross.
Yeah.
So when Paul says that, the message has come to us that in this one we receive the forgiveness of sins. That's what he's driving at.
Yeah.
And that's why later, as we'll see next Sunday, the Gentiles and others who heard this were rejoicing.
Yeah.
Because they did connect with the depths of their sinful heart.
Yeah, it makes me think, you used the word wretch a minute ago, which of course made me think of Amazing Grace, which is a worship song that reflects completely from that, right?
Yes.
It's a joyful praise to God, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Yes.
Why? Because he saved a wretch like me.
A worm.
Yeah, that's right. I was lost and I was blind, mm-hmm, and he's brought me out of it.
Yeah.
And it also makes me think of, we used to do a Bible study here called Gospel Transformation, mm-hmm, which has a kind of a chart in it that plots along your life your awareness of the holiness of God, mm-hmm, and your awareness of the depths of your sin. And there's, mm-hmm, a cross that kind of spans, mm-hmm, that. And as, mm-hmm, as you grow in your faith, your awareness of God's holiness increases, your awareness of your sin increases as well. Mm-hmm. And it makes that divide, that the amazing thing that the cross did, mm-hmm, that much more significant, glorious,
yes, wonderful. Yes, yes. You see the cross as a much greater love.
Yeah.
Much greater glory, much greater sacrifice. And that's to stir the affection for a much greater love for Christ.
Yeah.
Do we want to love Christ? If so, we've got to see that.
All right. Any preview for this Sunday?
We're going to go to we're still in Antioch of Pisidia, and it's the second Sabbath. Mm-hmm. It's a little different from the first one. There's been a whole week, and now it stirred up some controversy. And so Paul and Barnabas are going to run into some opposition and get chased out of town. But by God's grace, people are going to be saved, and their eyes are going to be open to this powerful love and cross of Christ. So it's a wonderful text, and that's where we're going to be. We're going to finish out chapter 13.
Awesome. We look forward to it.
All right.
We'll see you Sunday.